desire your prayers this afternoon. You just sang that song. Can I have another verse of that same song that you just sang? Lord, take my life. Do we really owe Him our life? Are you really willing to do it? How could we pay that debt? We sang the song 28, The Blameless Church. We began to sing that song and I began to cry. It's a church without spot and blameless. It was bought by the Savior's blood. You sang that song, the debt that I owe. How could we ever repay God for what He has done for us? What is this life anyway? That man, God would look down upon man and do anything for us. We're His creatures. He created us for His pleasure. Has He found pleasure in your life, in my life? It says here in the third verse, it says, without spot and blameless He bought her in the likeness of heaven above. But from the depths, from depths that were sinful, He sought her and filled her with infinite love. And that's when I began to cry. Because He sought me out in sin. He reached down and grabbed a hold of me out in sin. The very depths of a life that was useless and worthless, not only to God, but to mankind. And He took a life and He changed it, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that I now can be part of that blameless and spotless church. Some people think that there's sin in the church of God. Dear ones, I want to assure you today that there's no sin in the church of God. She is spotless and she is blameless. And she's going to go on with or without us. It's our choice and it's our decision. God has bought her with His blood. The Son, Jesus Christ, gave Himself for that sacrifice. And that blood, there's power in it. I told you this story. Let me tell it again because I repeat myself. I was working there in General Motors in Wisconsin. And I worked with an Iraqi man. He was born and raised in Iraq. But when the times came and the Taliban moved in, he was a Christian. See, he had to flee for his life and his family came. I think they went into Canada. And then he migrated down into the United States. He was a toolmaker for me then, and we become good friends. And he told me a story. He said, when I was just a little boy, he said, in our history books, he said, we had a story. He said, you see, when Constantine became a Christian, I believe it was Constantine, he sent his mother to the Holy Land to retrieve the cross of Jesus. Because there was a rumor that had been passed down for many years that the cross was taken and stored in a cave somewhere in the mountains, and it was there, and someone needed to go and get it. And so the mother went, and she took an army with power, and she went to get that. And they went to the area, but they didn't know where it was. All they had was just the rumor that there was a cross there. And so they went in there, and she began to talk to the townspeople, and they were of no help to her. And she said, I'm going to start killing people. If you don't find that cross for me, I can't go home without it. A little boy came to her, and he said, my grandfather knows where that cross is at. The story had been passed down, and my grandfather knows where that at. So they went and got the grandfather. He took them high up in the mountains, and they opened up the cave, and there was three crosses there. She was only commissioned to bring back one. So she said, I only need one. Which one is Christ's cross? Well, no one knew. I guess that plaque that was on there saying this was the Son of God was no longer there. But the three crosses were there. Who were the other two crosses of? It may have been the thieves. I don't know. He told me the story. He didn't say that. All he knows is the story and how he repeated it to me. He was just a little boy, and this was in their history books. This was not in their churches. This was in their history books. They taught it in their public school. So she turned to the scribes that were with her there in the army and said, how are we going to know which one belonged to Christ? And they said, we believe there's power in that one. And if we can find a dead person, that person will rise to life if we lay that cross on them. So they went along and they found a procession. That time they used to carry the bodies on a, I don't know, on something. They said they were carrying this body, and she had her army stop that procession, that funeral procession. She said, put the crosses on the corpse. They put the first cross on and nothing happened. They put the second cross on and nothing happened. They put the third cross on and that corpse rose to life. I said, that was in your history book. He said, that's what we were taught as little children. And they took that cross and took it back to Rome. I was amazed at that story. I came home and I asked my wife, I said, honey, I got to tell you the story. So I told her the story. I said, how could, after many years, if this story is true, I don't know, but if this story, this history is true, that they taught those little Christian Iraqi children in the public schools, what would have been in that chunk of wood to bring a dead man to life? Can anybody think of anything? What would have been in or on that cross that would have taken and give life back to a dead corpse? That's what my wife said, Sister Trudy. She said, the blood of Jesus. Is there power in that blood? Well, that's about as good an answer, I think, as anybody could come up with. Power in that blood. Just a stain on that cross could bring a man back to life. Well, dear ones, that was a stain that you could probably find. They've got technology now that they probably could have looked at that wood and said, yes, this is blood. And they might have been able to get DNA, said, yes, we can trace this all the way back to King David. I don't know. But what I do know, that there's a spiritual blood that I can't see and I can't physically touch, see, smell, but it touched my heart and it touched my soul and it turned me around, and I have a debt that I owe that I can never repay. But I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing all I can. Today I look at young men wandering around, young women wandering around in the world looking for something and they can't find it. Why is that? Looking here and looking there out into the world and can never find what I found in just a little bit of invisible blood of my Savior. I was talking to a young man the other night on the phone. The Lord gave me a scripture and I want to share that scripture with you this morning. This is my little message. Pray for us. The Lord will bless. It's in the 10th chapter of John, and it's the 9th verse. Talking to this young man, I said, I got a scripture for you. I want to read this to you. He said, I was reading and I was studying, and when I read this scripture, you came to my mind. I want to share this with you. 10th chapter of John, in the 9th verse, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I asked that young man, what does that mean to you? He said, I don't know. I said, well, this is what it means to me. Never gave it much thought before, but the Lord just inspired me as I read this, and it touched my heart. I am the door. Jesus said, he's the door. No man can come to the Father except you go through him. There's many religions out there in the world today, and they call upon God, but they deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Dear ones, those religions will never get them to heaven. We must go through Christ. There is no others. The Muslims say he was a good prophet, but he's not our Savior. They take Muhammad. Dear ones, they'll never make it to heaven. They'll never get to God. The Bible makes it very plain. What does Jesus say here? He declares it himself. My writings are as I am the door, he said. If you're going to get into the sheepfold, let's go back and read a little more. Let's go to the first. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. A sheepfold, a pen, a corral, a place where they kept the sheep safe at night, not out there in the pastures, but brought them in the night to keep the wolves and the thieves away from them. A sheepfold. You climb up the back way, you might be able to get in, but you'll never go through the door. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So I studied into this. What is this about? Well, see, in the temple, they used to have these corrals, these sheepfolds, and the shepherds would bring their sheep in and put them in these pens. And as they went into the door, there was a porter there. I didn't read that scripture. Maybe I better read it. Let's read the third. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Let's bring them back out. But what it was is they had a man assigned to these corrals, what they called the sheepfold. And the shepherd would bring his sheep in. These sheep were for the sacrifice. They would sell them to people that needed a sheep for a sacrifice. And they kept them there close to the temple at hand. And the shepherd would come in and the porter would open up the corrals. He knew the shepherd and he knew the sheep that belonged to that shepherd. You understand? Open the door, bring him in and shut it. And then in the next morning they wanted to take him out to feed him. The shepherd would come and the porter wouldn't open up that door for anybody else. He knew the shepherd and those sheep knew that shepherd. He would only open up the door to that shepherd and that shepherd would call his sheep and they'd follow him out into pasture. Who's our shepherd today? His name is Jesus. Do you know, I hear there's a new religion starting up where there's no Jesus anymore. It's all about going directly to God, and they don't need Jesus. Dear ones, I tried to do that, and I couldn't find him. It wasn't until Jesus reached down and talked to my heart and talked to my soul. It's Jesus this is built upon, and it's Jesus that will lead us back to his Father and back to God. For he is the door. And when he putteth forth his own sheep and goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. Dear ones, there's protection in Jesus. There's protection in following him. If you want the honest truth and all the truth and nothing but the truth, and you're bent towards that truth and want God to give you, he'll supply that truth to you. You don't have to be worried about leading astray. These people that have gone off in these movements, those people that used to even worship here with us and have gone off somewhere else, they need to check their heart. Something got into them and pulled them aside, and they need to put a double check and say, what was in me that I was able to be pulled away into something that wasn't of God? You ever think about that? Something within us, dear ones, is the only way that we could be ever led astray, because God is faithful, his Spirit is faithful, and the blood of God is mighty to the keeping of the soul. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The true sheep, God's people, God, those that follow him in spirit and in truth. I am the door, he says. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Dear ones, there's salvation in going through Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved. The name is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. Here's where I want to go to, dear ones. Right here is what I want to go to. I believe that God has got a plan for every one of our lives. Every one of our lives. I asked that young man, I said, have you got a goal? Have you set yourself a goal? Somewhere you want to go to? Somewhere you want to meet? He said, well, no, I want to raise my children. I said, well, that's good. But I'm talking about a goal after your children are gone, when they've grown up and moved out of your house. Do you have a goal then? The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people perish. I'm talking about a vision of something. I'm talking about a goal that you and I need to be working toward. You understand what I'm saying? A goal. What have you got set out there? What are you working towards? Dear ones, it's the mind of God. Our goal is to glorify God, to hold up His Son, and to know why He gave us life. Have you ever questioned yourself? Have you ever laid there in the middle of the night and said, why am I alive? Why did God create me? He could have created much better than me, but He gave life to me. He breathed the life in me, and I became a living soul. Why did He do that? Have you ever asked yourself that? Most of us have. I used to lay there and think about it. Why? What was the purpose? Dear ones, that's my goal today. I want to know what God's will is concerning me. I tell you what, if a young man would get that in his heart, a young lady would get that in their heart and in their minds, I want to know why God created me. I'm going to set a goal out there. I'm going to strive to get there until I know I'm in the center of God's will and I'm doing all I know and all I understand and I know He's pleased with me. What a place to be. You know what that is? That's that spotless virgin. That's that church of God. That's when you've made it there. That's when you're there. When you're in the center of God. You can start out at the altar. And you can just get deeper and deeper. Go in and out and find pastures. It's the shepherd's job to take his sheep and go out and find water. And find the best grass. God will do that. He'll lead us. If we ask Him to. What are we working to? What is our goal? Do we have a goal today? Lord, what is Your will concerning me? What gift have You got reserved for me? I asked that young man, what's your gift? I don't know. Why don't you know? Hasn't been saved long enough? Hasn't got deep enough? Hasn't really sought for it, asked for it? Let me ask you today. What's your gift? What's your gift? The Word of God says we've all been gifted with something. I believe it so. What is it? And he asked me, I said, I can't tell you what your gift is. I'm still working on mine. I'm still looking to God. I've got a goal out there that I'm striving for. I'm still going that way. There's a goal I want to meet. And that's meeting God on His terms and asking Him, Lord, sister, this morning, I think this message is just kind of going along with the one this morning. Sister brought out about the story of Paul and how he's on his way to Damascus and the Lord struck him down. And what did Paul say once he knew it was the Lord? He said, what would you have me to do? That's a question that each and every one of us need to be asking. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's something to strive for. That's a goal that we need to be looking to and walking to. Lord, what would you have me to do? Oh, we know that we've got to work. We know that we've got to provide for our own. If not, we'd be worse than an infidel. We know that by the Word of God. We've been taught that. I was taught that little boy. Work hard, son. Be honest. My parents taught me. I knew that. I don't need to be taught that. What do I need to be taught? The way the Lord would have me to go. What steps I should take. He wants to lead me in and out into these pastures. What about these pastures? Rich and lust. Lush, excuse me. Rich and lush. Lush in all that God has got for us. Have you got that? Are you eating at His table? I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. God has got a plan for every one of our lives. Are you in that plan? Are you walking that path? Are you following Him? Are you right behind Him? Do you hear His voice? You know, she was talking about some things we just know. Some things we know. I used to, when I first got saved, I used to ask the Lord, there's a meeting going on, the saints, Lord, would you have me to go? I don't ask that anymore. I say, Lord, if you don't want me to go, stop me. I want to go. If you're going to be there, if the saints are meeting together, two or more, you'll be there in the midst. If there's a meeting, men call, and the saints are going to be there, I know you're going to be there. I want to be there. If you don't want me there, Lord, then you stop me. because I'm on my way. If I can afford it, if I can make it, if my car will run, if all those things are not a hindrance to me, Lord, I'm going. Sometimes we ask backwards, don't we? What is that goal? What do we set for ourselves? What are we striving for? Dear ones, I get up every morning with a will to live. If he wants to take me, that's too. I told my wife, I'm ready to die. I said, my children don't mean it. You don't need me if he's done with me. No, she said, I still need you. Okay, I'm willing to stay too. But to get up every morning with a lust for life. Can I use that word in this aspect? A lust for life. To just want to reach out and find all the things that God has prepared for me and all the things that are out there so beautiful and so wonderful. Oh, let's go on. Let's read a little bit more here. Ten. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That sounds like the devil to me. That's the way he worked in my life. He tried to kill me. He tried to destroy me. And he stole from me. You know the devil's a thief, a liar, and a murderer. What will he steal from you? Anything you allow him to. He'll steal your health. He'll steal your wealth. He'll steal your youth. Turn around and what did I do with it? Then you want to live for God like I do, a broken down old man. What have I got to offer? Not much. But Lord, take what I got left. It's all yours. I can never repay him anyway, but what about being young and saying, God, here it is. When you're strong and vibrant, your mind still works good. You got a good memory. My wife and I travel around now. It takes two of us to get someplace. I can't remember. She can't remember. We go by, we have to turn around and go back. I said that two of us don't have one good mind together. Well, the Lord has mercy on the simple, and that's up, and I'm thankful for it. But my desire is to get that goal, to get where God would have me. Why? Why? Because it says here, I am come that they might have life. Life. Dear ones, a life I never had before. I know what it is to live now. I'm saved, and it's wonderful. I have a reason to get up in the morning. I have a reason to work. I have a reason to love. This young man, I told him, I said, you're a lot like I was. I was the same place you were. Oh, you got into different things that I got into, but we're a lot alike. You see, when fine God got a hold of me, I began to realize what the problem was. The problem was I didn't really love him like I should. But when I asked him to increase my love, to give me a greater measure of love, he gave me a greater love for my wife and a greater love for my children. I even enjoyed going to work. They used to call me Smiley. I said, why are you calling me Smiley? Where'd that name? He said, well, every time you walk in here, you're smiling. And I didn't even know I was that happy. That's what salvation can do. Do you enjoy your salvation? Dear ones, I enjoy mine. I enjoy it. Is that the beauty you were talking about, Sister Angela? Is that what we ought to show out to people? Do you enjoy this way? Would you give it up for anything? No, it means too much. I love this way. I enjoy it. I set a goal. I want to find out what God's will is for me. I tell you, I don't need to wander around out there in the world looking for it anymore. I found it in Him. Now my eyes are set. There's my goal. Oh, then we go on here. That you might have life. And that they might have it what? More abundantly. Oh, this is a good way. It's abundant. Abundant life. Even when times are tough, it's still good. It's still abundant. Why? Because I can learn by it. Oh, I love this way. Love the church. Got a vision for the church. Now I want to know what God wants for me. Lord, what would you have me do? Oh, he's told me to preach his word. Okay, I'll do that, Lord. What else? It ain't over yet. It ain't done. I got a whole life ahead of me. Maybe just a few years, maybe many. I don't know. Maybe in a wheelchair in a few years. But I can still love God. And I can still serve God. I can still be a witness for God. A goal. Have you set yourself a goal? Are you trying to reach out to that goal? Say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where should I live? Where should I work? Where should I worship? Lord, lead me and guide me into these pastures. I want to go into the deeper things of God. I'm in now, and now it's time to go out and feed where it's lush. What's lush? The truth of God's word is lush, dear ones. Oh, every time I read it, I get something else out of it. I read it 3 and 4 times sometimes, and each time I get a little bit more. I'm talking about sitting down and studying. Sometimes I have to draw my mind in. I'll read it once, and I miss something. I go back and read it. 4 times I'll read it. Finally, I draw my mind and get a hold of it. And oh, there's so much in it. Can't go real fast. Got to go slow. Got to go slow. But oh, what I get. What I get, just like this scripture, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Oh, dear ones. And have life and have it more abundantly. I couldn't find this in the world. I looked and I couldn't find it. I was out there struggling. Trying to fill it up with things. Sports. Motorcycles, boats, you name it, I tried just about everything. Thank the Lord I never got into drugs. But I tried alcohol, and I tried tobacco. You know something, I can't even say I didn't try drugs because the doctors used to give me drugs, and they'd make me sick. How anybody could take them and say, this makes them feel good, I don't know, all they ever did with me is make me sick. So I guess I got into drugs too, didn't I? But God delivered me from all that stuff. And I've never been so happy or so satisfied any time that I can remember. And it keeps getting better and better. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I hope all of you do. I hope I'm just repeating what others have said. You don't hear it, but we'll just hear it again, that's all. I was told one time it doesn't matter how many times you hear it. You've heard it 1,000 times, but when it's anointed, it's brand new. Brand new, one more time. You've read these scriptures. You know these stories. But oh, ain't it rich? Ain't it good? And it just keeps getting better and better. Oh, thank the Lord. And to have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Dear ones, we were bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to him. Are we given our life? Have we given it back? Say, Lord, you gave it to me, but I'm giving it back. I'm going to lay it here on the altar, and I'm never going to claim any part of it again. Never again. You know that scripture, Romans 12 and 1? What's it say? Someone go ahead and quote it. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Our reasonable service. Bring that old body along with your spirit and soul, and bring it right up here and leave it here. Say, Lord, here it is. It's yours. Take it. Do what you want. And then get up and walk away. But leave it there. Spiritually, leave it there. And you never have another claim on it. When they used to sacrifice under the Old Testament, and they brought a sheep or a bullock, and they brought it to be slain, once they gave it to the priest, and it was dedicated to God, they no longer had a claim to it. It didn't belong to them anymore. They couldn't come back and say, wait a minute, now I want the rump. I want the back strap. No, it was given to God. It was no longer theirs. They no longer had a claim to it. They gave it up. Dear ones, can't we do the same? Give ourselves over to God, and we have no longer any claims to it. Lord, you take me and you use me to your glory. To your glory, that I may be a benefit to others for your glory. Luke, the 18th chapter, 18th chapter and 18th verse, Lord bless. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's quite a question, isn't it? Oh, I want eternal life. I want to be able to live forever, Lord. What do I do? What must I do? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. But who was Jesus? Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That's what he was asked to give up. All that he had. All that he had in the world. All that he had in the world. Do you know that everything that you see, everything that you hold in your hands, everything that you have in your possession is going to burn up on that great last day? It's fodder for the fire. How much do we put store in it? How much do we love it? How much do we treasure it? What's really in our heart? Have we set that goal? Lord, what would you have me to do? Isn't that what this young man asked? I say young, I don't know how old he was, just said certain ruler, just a certain person. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, get rid of all that stuff. Give it to the poor, they need it. And come and follow me. Oh, but what happened? And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Why? Trusting in those things rather than in the God of heaven. Rather than following Christ, I'm given an opportunity here. Wouldn't you like to have that opportunity? If the Lord came to you and says, give it all up, Sister Trudy, and come follow me. Well, you just about have, haven't you? And then he gave you a lot back. Some have been that place. If you'll give it up for him, he'll give you more in return. Far greater riches in return. I have learned in my life and in my ministry, the more I sacrifice for God, the more God blesses my ministry. And he'll do the same for you in your life. The more you sacrifice for him, the more he wants to give to you. Oh, Lord, help us. But this young man wasn't willing to give it up. What was he holding on to? The world. I want to have eternal life, and I want to hold on to it with this hand. But I want to hold on to the world with this hand. Dear ones, it will never work. It will pull you in two. God will let go and let you go to the world. That's really what you want. He's not going to give his glory to another. And he's not going to get any glory out of the world. You see, he made that. And he made everything in it. He doesn't need it. But this young man refused to give up the world. And refused to follow Christ. Does that mean that rich men can't enter in? Oh no, let's talk about Zacchaeus for a minute. They say he was rich. And yet he said, Lord, I'll repay every man that I've taken from fourfold. If I've taken from any man wrong, I'll pay him back. And I'll four times more than I took. And what did Jesus say? Today, salvation has come to this man's house. And yet he was rich. God's got rich people too. But what's in their heart? It's all about the heart. It's all about that goal. Lord, I want to know what your will is for me. What have you set out there for me? I want that pathway. I want that map of life to show me the direction you'd have me to take. Dear ones, it starts right here and it goes on as the Spirit leads. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Matthew 22. And let's begin at 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for a son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. They made light of it. Dear ones, are we making light of the call that God has given to us? He has called every one of us here to follow him. Am I right? Can I say that? Have you laid everything down that would hinder you or get in your way, and have you followed him? Here it says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto This is God, and He's sending His Son. He sent His servants. I've heard ministers preach the gospel and see people just sit there and let that gospel go right past them. Is that a day and time that we're living in? My wife read to me a little bit, or talked to me a little bit about some. She's been reading about Spurgeon and some of his messages from the late 1800s. I think it was 1866, wasn't it, Mom? And he said the same thing was happening then. People weren't getting saved, weren't coming to church, didn't care about the gospel. Seemed like there was no conviction and no fear. Isn't that what we're seeing today? May the Lord help us. But what about you and I? What about you and I? We're being bidden to come to this wedding, the wedding of the Son. Said, and again, He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, coming to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. Made light of it and went their ways. I had an uncle. Name was Daniel Ogden. Went very high, and he was a lawyer there in Nevada. And he went very high in his profession. He became the Nevada State Game Commissioner. He was also a retained lawyer for Harris Club. That's the big casino there. Some of the cars that were in that collection belonged to my uncle. And we had gotten together, and I think it was at a funeral, and I was visiting with him. And he told me, he said, Brian, I've set goals. I've set goals in my life, and I've made it to every one. I've achieved every one of those goals. I made it there. And he said, there's no purpose for me to go on living. There's no purpose. He said, I might as well be dead. I find no joy in life. There's no reason for me to get up anymore. You know, he only lived just a short while and he died. And he was a young man. I tried to talk to him, what about the Lord? What about God? What about Jesus? Nah. Made light of it. Made light of it. Went to the height of his profession as a lawyer. Made lots of money. Knew all the big wigs in the state. And got to a place where it wasn't worth it. He didn't want to live anymore. No satisfaction, no purpose. Set his goals out there and was able to obtain, achieve them. I'll tell you what, you set a goal for God and you'll keep going. Amen. You'll just keep going. Brother Wilson said, Brother Austin Wilson years ago, he said, the more I learn, the more I learn that I know absolutely nothing. And I thought, oh my. I see him there preaching his Bible close and just quoting scripture after scripture, tying them all together. And I'm like, oh, what a man. What a man that God is blessed to know that. I can't hardly remember what I read a minute ago. Oh, and he just brought, and I thought, oh my. And this man's telling me that the more he learns, he knows absolutely, the more he learns, he knows nothing. Where does that leave me? That leaves me a long ways to go. And that's exciting. That's exciting. Put that goal out there to get in the center of God's will and take off. And I'll tell you, you'll just keep going because he'll just have something else for you to do. Something else for you to do until he calls you home. Where was I at here? And they made light of it and went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. Stuff. Stuff. Just stuff. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. I'm not going to read about what the king did. But there's a day coming. Judgment is coming, dear ones. We are going to stand before the judgment bar of God to be judged by the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. Have you set a goal? Are you working that way? God, I want to be in the center of your will. What I do, where I go, I want to know that you're with me. I want to be right there because you've sent me. And if you sent me, you'll be with me. In Matthew 9 and 13, we'll turn to that real quick right here. Matthew 9 and 13. It says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Thank God. I thank God that he came and sought me out. Sought me a sinner. A sinner that didn't deserve mercy. Didn't deserve the blood of his son. But he still sought me out. And when I seen my need, like the prodigal son, when I finally came to myself, said, what am I doing here? Why am I here? This useless life that I hated. This miserable life that I was in. And yet he gave me an opportunity and saved my soul. All I had to say was I was sorry. All I had to say was I was sorry. And I don't want to do this anymore. And he came in and cleansed me. And then he placed me into his kingdom. Into that spotless virgin. That bride of Christ. How beautiful the thought. May the Lord help us. Have you set a goal? Have you set a goal? Have you got a vision? Do you believe the church is beautiful without spot and without blemish? I do. I do because the Bible says it so, and I know that a God that would clean me up would not have anything but clean. That's what he's after. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless. You pray for me.